he puts in his word. And I'll add here now, not just for us to know about him per se, but to know about Israel as we consider this. He begins in chapter 9. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and whom, of whom, as concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Couple things as I introduce this tonight that I want to bring up for us. Years ago, read a very important book by Bill Koenig. And he simply described what I would say an understanding from the Scriptures. So let's get the Scripture, and then I'll talk to you a bit more about that. The Scripture is Genesis 12. And Genesis 12, 3, I'm just going to go one verse. The context is God speaking to Abraham. Genesis 12, 3. So verse 1 says, the Lord had said unto Abram. So that's the context. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're watching a world like this. This is like present. This is current event answer. And so you might even come to the study and say, well, what in the world about Israel? Right? Again, so I'm playing with this title a little bit because of what's going on in the world concerning what I mean, Israel, if any other nation in the world had an attack upon them like Israel did on October 7th, the world would be like, yeah, take care of business. But when it's Israel, the world all of a sudden becomes divided, split. Some are antagonistic. Some are, today in the news was that march? Did anybody read about that in D.C.? Was that today or yesterday?
March was yesterday.
March was yesterday. So I'm off a day. It was on the 14th. But I'm just going to read some current headlines, right? This is today. This is Bill Koenig's website, World Watch Daily. And he just attaches that the nations that bless Israel, they'll be blessed. The nations that curse Israel, okay? So why all the trouble in our nation? We'll get to some of these headlines. Former envoy to UN suggests Secretary General Gutierrez is a spokesman for Hamas. That's here is the Israeli minister, Benny Gantz, yesterday's news. He says, we will kill Hamas leaders in Gaza and around the world. Okay, you probably know this one from today. IDF enters Shifa Hospital as battle rages deep in Gaza Strip. IDF making efforts to help civilians in the hospital. Who does something like that? October 7th, their civilians are attacked. Now, as they're trying to destroy the leaders, they go in to protect the citizens of Gaza. And yet they're still spoken of. Yesterday's news, Israel's foreign minister says UN chief not fit to lead. So UN does not stand for United Nations in Israel. Right, it's the United Nothings to them because they've been, if you study it out, there's been more UN orders issued against Israel than any other nation. We wouldn't even be talking about Israel except for what we find in the Word, that God preserved Israel. And many today would just go right along with whatever news they listened to or whatever people would say. Here's yesterday's news. Planes, trains, and bus caravans. U.S. Jews descend on Washington for pro-Israel rally. Let's see if a couple more. I want to get down to these. Let's see. We get back to last week or the beginning of this week. Because our part to this, America's not in Bible prophecy. Here's a good one. Netanyahu reaffirms no ceasefire. Let's see. Where are you at? Thinking. So I want to connect this for us. Here we go, November 8th. An unrepentant nation. Virginia Democrats sweep legislative elections after campaigning on abortion rights. An unrepentant nation. Ohio voters enshrine abortion access in state constitution. Biden touts passage of Ohio abortion measure, Democracy Won. Kamala Harris calls on Congress to pass a bill supporting nationwide abortion access. Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Here we are now, a nation killing our babies, and when it's running openly now, those candidates are winning. One of the things that I just come and receive tonight and hand it off to you is repentance. If you can see that our nation is passing laws, you know, woe unto those who call evil good and those who call good evil and evil good. That's right at the top of our nation in the White House. When you tout abortion as a right or a victory for democracy. So I want to do something tonight. We're going to read 9, 10, and 11 together. A lot of times I'll describe this. And let's let the Holy Spirit, right through the Word of God, teach us about Israel. There are many today who would like to say that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. Some will go as far to say the church, because Israel rejected the Messiah, the church became or took the place of Israel and the blessings of the promises of God, which again is false doctrine. And when we come to Romans 9, 10, and 11, I think the best thing to do first is to read the whole thing. So here we go, Romans 9, 10, and 11 together. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will hardeneth, on whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he'll finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them which are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scriptures saith of Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away, alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the elections, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who has first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we read through the Bible, and what in the word about Israel? The very fact that we in 2023 are seeing a nation in the world called Israel, of the Jews that had been scattered the second time to the four corners of the world, heavily persecuted, sought to be destroyed, even in recent history, within the last 100 years, to bring an end by the world to the people of God. And I just remind you, God's chosen people. And we come to a study like this, and the understanding that I bring forth, Paul has been developing this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, in describing slaves to sin, and it is Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. It is Jesus, the Messiah, who came as a man, died on the cross, and he set us free from sin, to all who believed him, to all who received him. And the reality, as Paul then comes to the end of this, that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's our promise. Just as Israel was chosen, so is the Gentile church, Jew and Gentile alike, chosen by God. Again, as we've studied this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And I'll remind you, and God does not take away your free will in that same foreknowledge. It's an amazing and wonderful thing that God here reveals his foreknowledge. And as we study this, when we look at verses 1-5, there's this great conclusion. Israel is not saved. Their Messiah came, their Messiah died on the cross, rose again, all predicted in their scriptures, and by and large, Israel did not receive their Messiah. Now, some of Israel are saved, and that's really what Paul's describing. There's not an end to Israel. There's a remnant. He acknowledges that. But we come to this study, and we have to know this. Israel is not saved. And yet, you see them existing in the world. You see them in the forefront. Again, I'll even put you this. They're in the target of the world's attention once again. They have not been out of that target for very long. So what I really want to hand off to us is the understanding and knowledge of God in relationship that he has revealed in the scriptures to Israel, that we would know him, we would know that his promises never fail, and that his covenant that he made to Abraham will be fulfilled, so that you and me can trust the promise of God of eternal life in Christ Jesus, that will not fail. We come to I got two verses that stuck in my head the last couple weeks. And the first one's Jeremiah 9:24. And I want you to see this with me. So we open up chapter 9, Israel's not saved. So when you hear of someone not saved, what immediately do you start thinking about? Well, what I immediately start thinking about, they need to get saved. Right? You do understand it's God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And his desire is to save. And so when you find out that Israel is not saved, and that coincides with chapter 10 where Paul says, my heart's desire for Israel is that they would be saved. When you look at Jeremiah 9:24, I remind you that this is in the time period when the glory of Israel under the days of the kings is coming to an end. And maybe a familiar passage to you. 23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches. You could publish that today, and it would be as fitting as it was in that day. But I draw your attention to 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Now, when we come to a study like this, and I think of the church, and then us in particular, but then the church in general, to this wonderful truth, if we're going to glory, and this is what Paul's talking about, we don't boast or we don't glory against Israel's fall. They're stumbling. They're temporary, if you will, rejection of the Messiah, for God will save Israel and those that are truly Israel. And so we do not, again, we do not boast, we do not glory in any of the things we have in this world, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. When you study Romans 9, 10, and 11, and you think of those in unbelief, and what God is saying with Jeremiah, because their prevailing mindset was, we're descendants of Abraham, we're not going to be judged. And in Jeremiah's day, when he describes that the Lord exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So this beginning phrase, that he knows and understands and knows me. So my goal tonight is that you would understand and know the Lord yet more and more, especially seeing his faithfulness to Israel. And as Paul declares this truth, and we read through the whole thing, and yet to apply out of chapter 9, I believe it's just a couple of wonderful things for us to pick up. To know and understand the Lord. How the Lord is with Israel. How he is with you. Now, on your way back to Romans, let's stop off. We'll go a little past, and then we're going to come back. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. So if you notice in 9:24 of Jeremiah, the Lord is exercising. He's exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Okay? We were just exhorted Sunday to be exercising ourselves toward godliness. So if you can associate this together for yourself, is God is exercising loving kindness, you should be exercising loving kindness. He's exercising judgment in the earth. You're to be exercising judgment. Like, wait a minute. Okay. I thought our Lord said to us to not judge. Actually, what did he say? He says, with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And again, he's talking judgment, what we would typically call critical. So if the Lord's exercising loving kindness and the Lord's exercising judgment, and then I say we're to be exercising that same judgment, what am I talking about? Just hold that thought. And then exercising righteousness. We like that one. We're like, yeah, righteousness. He exercises righteousness. We want him to exercise righteousness, and we want to exercise righteousness. If we just applied righteousness to those headlines that are read right up top, what would you say? If we were exercising righteousness, we would not have abortion. We'd not be murdering our babies. Now, as I just kind of set that there, where did I take you? Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians 13. I didn't go there. I guess I didn't want to leave Jeremiah 9:24 yet. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you're going to glory in this, that you know and understand the Lord. You know and understand the Lord. And if anybody asks you, what's going on in the world? Again, referencing Israel, Hamas. What's going on in the world? Say, the Lord is exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness right now in the earth. Now, you can sort of explain that a little bit. But here's my word to us, 1 Corinthians 13. Not 12, 13. 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or have not love, I am nothing. So all this knowledge and understanding that you can glory in, prophecy concerning Israel, all valuable. The prophecies concerning Israel, we studied them this summer, 70th week of Daniel, 7 more years for God to fulfill all the prophecy for Israel. He will save them. He once again, he will judge them, afflict them. They will suffer punishment. The circumcised with the uncircumcised, what we read tonight. Now, as I describe all this, and knowing clearly that we could say we have understanding and knowledge of what God is doing in the world. Now, my word to us, church, is let all that you do be done with love. Do you love Israel? Right? On top of this, do you love Hamas? Ooh. Does God love Hamas? Well, for God so loved the world. But you know what he's exercising right now? Now, do you know and understand the Lord? God's going to judge the wicked. Okay? We think this is cotton candy. We're not on cotton candy tonight. We're not on the milk of the word. We're getting quickly into the meat of the word. Of what happens in the world. What does God do to those that destroy his own children? Now, when I describe this, and though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So if we're going to glory in something tonight, and let him who glories glory in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord, and I am exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So if God is exercising, and we're exercising, and now I opened up a can of worms for you on judgment. Like, what do you mean judgment? Well, let's go there. Matthew 7. I think I can find the passage. Is it Matthew 7 where he says to judge not lest you be judged? Yeah, there you go. 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, whose job is it to judge what those of Hamas have done? Well, God appointed a government, right? He appointed a government according to Romans 13 that exists in that place to exactly avenge the punishment upon evildoers. So you study your scriptures, and again, you look at this whole thing. Should Israel destroy those that have destroyed them? Well, their government has a God-given authority and therefore also vengeance to punish the evildoers. Now, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us, a remnant, what did Paul say? He said we'd have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. So people always say, well, Israel, their hands aren't clean. That's not the point. The point is they're God's chosen people, and where they would have been destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah are the examples of those that were destroyed by judgment from God in heaven. And he said, we would have been like that. That in that one regard, he said, it's not that they're not pure because they're God's chosen people. But this is where Paul goes in Romans 9, 10, and 11. It's because God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and gave promises to them and their descendants. And he's going to preserve them and keep them. Now, the Lord exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Now, find your way to John 16 with me, and then we'll be back to Romans 9. Holy Spirit showed me this today, or you say the Lord showed me. I believe the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the things that the Lord has said to us. And when Jesus our Lord introduces the Holy Spirit, in chapter 16, he describes the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, let's see, right before that, yes, when he has come, where he says in 16, 7, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I will not go away, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, 16, 8. Now, the living God, chose one man, Abram, of all the people on the face of the earth, and chose to bless him through his descendants, that the Messiah would come through his descendants. And those descendants, they are Israel. And he chose it that way. The living God sent his son to the earth to suffer and die on the cross, his one and only son. And then when Jesus here is revealing, our Lord is describing that when he goes away, he's going to send, and I'll just use the same phrase. So you have the Son of the living God. We worship the living God. Then you have the Spirit of the living God. There's only one God that's alive. Truly the rest are, if you will, again, if there's demons behind them, but the rest of the idols are dead and dumb. And the word here is, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now I present unto you, when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again, that changed everything. When the Messiah came, and when sin was paid for, and Jesus rose again from the dead, when he accomplishes that, now the Spirit can be sent. But now he has the power to grant eternal life to whomever he wills. Those that come to him, they hear the gospel, believe, receive. Now everything is different after Jesus dies on the cross and rises again. Even for Israel. And this is the whole point of Romans 9, 10, 11. What about Israel, who has these promises that come before Jesus, that now after Jesus has come, and they've rejected the Messiah, they've rejected the gift of salvation, they've rejected life. And they say, what about Israel? And here we are still asking the same question. They should not exist. You study history. They were scattered twice. They've been dispersed for well over 1,500 years to all the nations of the world, and they still have been able to maintain their language. The Hebrew that's spoken today is the same language that was spoken of old. Obviously, there's new words, there's old words again, but it's the same language. And what now becomes glaringly obvious when you say, what in the word about Israel? Is we are like, they exist. So, I am the Lord. You know, again, not me. I'm thinking Jeremiah 9:24. Exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So after Jesus goes back into heaven, and he says how the Holy Spirit would come, and he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Everything changes at the cross. Our Lord says, of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What's the judgment that's being exercised? Right? The Spirit who works in the children of disobedience. If there's one thing I can say to us about what's going on in the world, with what you see with the support of what Hamas has done, and then Hezbollah and the other nations and the support of that all around the world, what can I say? Is satanic. For no other reason, and those that would then condemn without looking this up. But I believe it's this. The Lord is exercising loving kindness. So when he sends the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the whole same Holy Spirit that is love is reproving, or again, convicting the world of sin because they believe not in me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God clearly demonstrates to us that his love on the cross. So loving kindness is related to sin. What is the sin? The sin of unbelief is to reject the loving kindness of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? I came across it, I'm like, so the Spirit is still exercising with that conviction and that reproving of the world after the Messiah has come. And again, for God so loved the world, there's only one explanation for the cross, the love of God. The love of God to save people. There's only one explanation. There's no poor Jesus for dying on the cross. No, Jesus faced this. And he says, yes, Father. I mean, this, he says, he knew it. He's the Lamb of God. He's that sacrifice for sin. For God so loved the world. So what God is exercising is loving kindness on the cross. And then along comes Israel, who should have received their Messiah, who instead of receiving the love of the cross, they stumble at the stumbling stone. They stumble in the sin of unbelief, which is the only way to explain them. They stumbled in that sin of unbelief, and the Holy Spirit came to reprove them because they would not receive the loving kindness of their Lord to save them. So then they're convicted or reproved of their sin. And what did Jesus say? Of sin, because they believed not in me. So you know what the Holy Spirit now, after the cross, exercising the conviction of sin? Before that, God was exercising loving kindness, explaining his loving kindness to Israel, his judgment, again, upon Egypt, upon any other nation, upon even upon Israel, when they turned away from him, he judged them to turn them back. So he's exercising that judgment. But what do we learn is that God exercises his judgment upon sin as he has his son die for sin. So at the cross, there's an exercising of judgment. So he's exercising loving kindness, he's exercising judgment, and then he's exercising righteousness. How do I know he's exercising righteousness? Jesus rose from the dead. Righteousness is that life that is acceptable. How do you know Jesus is righteous? He rose again from the dead, never more to die. God accepted his life and raised him again from the dead. Now, what do I present to us tonight as we study this? Is that this question has to be answered. If the Messiah came and the Messiah of Israel, the promised seed of Abraham, the one who exercised the loving kindness and judgment and righteousness of God, same God who did that warning in Jeremiah, the same God who did that right on the cross, and now the Spirit afterwards convicting or reproving the world when they have not believed and received that, Romans 9 comes along and says, Israel has not believed and received their Messiah. And Paul lays it out. He says, they're not saved. By and large, Israel is not saved. Paul in Romans 9 describes it. He has heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? Because he has knowledge and understanding. He has wisdom and understanding. He has understanding of the Lord God. He understands the Messiah. He understands the Spirit. He understands loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. He understands all that. And what does he know? If they don't receive their Messiah, they're not going to be able to claim descendants of Abraham. The Messiah came and the Spirit's in the world to reprove them of their sin of unbelief, and they're still in their sin of unbelief. They've rejected the loving kindness of the cross of Jesus Christ. And what's Paul saying? Heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And in 3, he says, I wish I were myself accursed, separated from Christ. The word he's describing there, the Greek word anathema. That he himself could be separated. Again, it was used of the one who was, Jesus was anathema from the time Pilate said he should be crucified. He's anathema. He's the sacrifice for sin. That's the meaning of the word. Paul says, if I could be that to get Israel saved, that's the tone he brings. And simply crying out for Israel to be saved, they had the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law. They had the service of God. So when you look in 1:4, just jot down your notes there, Romans 12:1. We'll come back to this, and it says, our reasonable service, latria, same Greek word, serving God. This, they had the service of God. And then we come through to our reasonable service, but we're going to address God's chosen people who had all the promises yet rejected their Messiah. Is it over for them? That's 9, 10, and 11. Is God done with them? Romans 9, 10, and 11. Now, as you know and understand the Lord, describing here in 5, the Messiah come from Israel. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. I absolutely love this where Paul describes this is clearly in the Word of God. What the Word of God says about Israel, and he goes to, back to their beginning and describes, not everyone who was descended from Abraham is the seed, but only those are called. Remember, Abraham had a child with Hagar, thinking that that could fulfill the promise of God, that a work of the flesh is a, no, the promised son would come from Sarah. And that's the description called, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, verse 8, but the children of the promise. Now, this becomes important to us because the Word of God has said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, and there are the children of promise, and it comes through this to 9. This is the word of promise. And it began here that through Sarah, she would have the son. And we come to the next one in verse 10, so we understand the Lord God. And what about his chosen people, Israel? Rebekah. So you had Abraham and Sarah, but now you have Isaac, and then a great how Isaac got his wife, Genesis 24. But as Rebekah came, and then she had twins, it took 20 years for her to conceive. She conceived by prayer of Isaac. And then she has two nations warring in her womb, and says, the children yet being unborn, and neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, of him that calleth. So again, just separating and sorting, and not all those who are Israel. And he described this phrase when he says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. It's a clear choice. It's a choosing of God. Now, we can look at it, and you look at Esau's life, and you see all the things he did, and you said, man, God's smart. He chose Jacob. And it wasn't that Jacob was a better character. But when this came down to that which the blessing of God, receiving God, Jacob would not let go. Esau let go for a bowl of stew. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. The calling of God. This calling of God, the wonderful understanding of how we're called chosen in Christ when we receive the gospel. And again, this has to be described. If God chose Israel and they rejected the Messiah of Israel, God working loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, and now after Jesus has risen from the dead, after he's ascended to heaven, the Spirit has been sent, and the Spirit is actively convicting of sin, the sin of unbelief, and Israel does not respond, and they're not responding to the judgment, and they're not responding to righteousness, And yet God chose and called them, what shall we say then? Verse 14, is there unrighteousness with God? Isn't that the claim? I mean, if God did all that and had promised all that to Israel and he sent the Messiah, well then, shouldn't they just get in anyway? And the answer is no. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Exodus 33, when Moses says, show me your glory. Some of you might be familiar with that passage. Like, and that's where he declares his name, the Lord. And you think about exercising, and you just go to 33, I think it's right around verse 15. And this becomes that place that God, even then describing that it's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth. That man doesn't bring this about, but God shows mercy. And as God shows mercy, that's verse 16, the scripture says unto Pharaoh, for this purpose I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared through all the earth. Do you realize that God has raised up those that will only know him by his judgments that he exercises upon them? Pharaoh. When God spoke, and his mouthpiece Moses, together with Aaron, say unto Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people go, that they may serve me. What's Pharaoh's first word? Who is the Lord that I should listen, that I should listen to him? Pharaoh becomes the example. that's enough for tonight. Okay? As far as I'm going. If I go farther, I'm just going to I'm just not going to go any farther. That's it. You don't have to have my reasoning. But here's what I want to do tonight. I want to pray. And not just me, but the Lord showed us that we can enter into waiting upon the Holy Spirit through worship and through prayer. So we're going to have a time of afterglow tonight. And I want you to know and understand the Lord and what He's doing and what the Spirit would say. And just consider this. Consider this. That exercising of loving kindness, which coincides with the Spirit's conviction upon sin. Okay, just put those two together. He's exercising judgment in the world, and the Spirit is convicting the world of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. What's being played out right now in the world? Satan's using people to spread evil. Ultimately, he's going to bring his Antichrist into the world to destroy. And he's even going to be able to destroy Israel. What's Jesus going to do with his church that he's promised that they would not suffer wrath of God? What is he going to do for the church? He's going to snatch them up and catch them away before that Antichrist is revealed, because that's the beginning of the judgment and wrath of God. So you'll notice that it doesn't say God is exercising wrath in the earth. It says he's exercising judgment in the earth because the ruler of this world is judged. And yet many today in the world be saying, they think Satan's some kind of power that they can worship. Now, as I describe this to where we're at tonight, I simply bring us to this place. That there would be a greater working of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. In the knowledge and understanding, together with love. If we have not love, I am nothing. So we can know and understand, we can have knowledge and understanding of unbelief and Israel's unbelief, and we can have knowledge and understanding of the unbelief that's around us, but if we have not love, it profits us nothing. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So as we come and wait upon the Lord tonight, and I'll start us in prayer, but let's feel free to pray, but pray those prayers that the Spirit put there for all of us to wait upon the Lord tonight. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for the study of your word, and we thank you for your faithfulness to Israel. We thank you for your faithfulness to the promises, and yet, Lord, you desire for them to be saved. And, Lord, we're looking at the days in which we're living and the time being short, and we come tonight once again to our great need for the Holy Spirit in our lives, for the wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, fear of the Lord, all that you would give. And we come and ask tonight as we wait upon you that you would give the Holy Spirit and you would give gifts of the Spirit tonight. And as we wait upon you, Lord, we would see our great need for the Holy Spirit all around us to convict and reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How your loving kindness came into the world and your Son to die on the cross, gave himself for us, the very love of God. We ask of you as we exercise ourselves tonight in that same love, that your love would abound to us by the Holy Spirit. So we wait upon you, Lord, and we ask you to give your Holy Spirit tonight. We ask you to give gifts of the Spirit. We just open up our hearts and our minds to what your Spirit would say to us. So we wait upon you in prayer. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come upon us.